Thank you so much for joining us on the stream at WGNRadio.com or listening wherever your favorite stream is sold.
Right. Hello, everyone in Montana. It's next to a stream and enjoying the program.
Gone
fly fishing. Yep.
All right, that crazy laugh is a crazy guy who has been on the show before. We've known you a very long time. I have, for sure. Craig Gass is here. You will be appearing at Dirty Nelly's in Palatine this Saturday. Two shows. I saw you last time you were at Dirty Nelly's.
Yeah, it was last year, and this year I'm doing a Cubs-themed comedy show. I've always had a weak spot for the Cubs.
You're not from here, though.
I'm from New York. My birthright was the Yankees. I grew up 10 miles from Yankee Stadium in Mount Vernon, New York. And I was a big Yankee fan until I got to the age where I realized, it's not magic. I really thought it was magic. Like, the Yankees just kick ass every year. I think you should only root for the Yankees up until the age of 12, maybe 13. And then when you know what's going on, you shouldn't be a grown man rooting for that. I mean, I don't.
But a lot of kids would want to root for a proven winner. The Yankees were a perennial winner. Cubs, the opposite.
No question. When I was a kid, I remember getting into football and saying, well, who's the best team? The Steelers. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I'm a Steelers fan. That's mm-hmm. my team because they're the best.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you get to that age, plus, I had an experience of going to Yankee Stadium. I was 7 years old. I'm with my mom and dad. And I remember looking around the stadium and looking at my parents and going, this stadium is loaded with a-holes. I was seven.
Yeah.
I was seven. I saw fights
yeah.
in the stands. Like, if you wore a hat for another team, people would
they get a little aggressive.
Yeah. And yeah.
Really?
Yeah,
oh,
yeah, yeah.
They're awful. And then in 1987, I go to Wrigley for the first time, and I was shocked. I used to watch the team on WGN, and then I go to the stadium, and I'm like, the stadium is packed. This team
sure.
sucks.
Right.
Like, I couldn't believe it. And I was so enamored with it. And
but Craig, you know, I hope you know this, being from another city, the belief was that it didn't matter if the Cubs would win or lose, Wrigley Field would be jam-packed. And because of that, the Cubs would never provide a winner because they didn't need to.
They didn't need to.
Right.
And I've actually heard from friends of mine in the local media, I probably shouldn't say this on the air, but I've heard from friends of mine in the local media out here that of all the sports teams, the Cubs are the toughest team to get access to because they know they don't necessarily
need it.
Exactly.
Yeah, right.
They don't
necessarily
don't.
Need it. And so I've always said my whole life that I'll only go to the World Series if the Chicago Cubs go to the World Series, to which all my friends have always said, well, then you're never going to the World Series.
Right.
And they got in and
they did? No
yeah.
one told me.
Wendy, it was in the paper.
I got tickets for game 6 and 7.
Oh.
I'm texting friends of mine in Cleveland. Hey, are you going? Are you going? And a buddy of mine who owns some really popular local restaurants in Cleveland called The Melt. It's like a grilled cheese sandwich restaurant.
Oh, yum.
He says, he goes, yeah, dude, I'm in the third row, and I'm sitting right behind John Cusack and Eddie Vedder. And I said, okay, well, if you want to hang out, let me know. And he said, you won't be able to get to me because I'm behind a huge wall of security here.
Yeah.
And I said, all right. And so I meet up with other friends. I'm walking around the stadium, and a guy in the stadium who works for the Indians stops me and goes, hey, weren't you on That Metal Show? And I was like, what? Oh my, of all the TV stuff, I was like, yeah, are you a metalhead? He goes, yeah. And so I'm talking to him. And while he's talking to me, he has to stop to scan tickets for people. And he goes, hold on 1 second here. Yep, you're good. Let me give you a wristband. But yeah, anyways, and he keeps talking to me and stopping periodically to go, oh, I'm sorry, let me just scan this.
Yeah.
Yep, here's your wristband. And I go, what's the wristband for? And he goes, it's a private club behind home plate called the Home Run Club. Do you want one? And I said, yeah. And he gave me a wristband, and I was like, do you mind if I just go right now? And he goes, oh, go have fun. And I
wow.
go behind home plate, and I text my buddy again and said, dude, I'm about 10 rows behind you right now in this private club. He texts me in the seventh inning, says one of the wives just left in the third row. She brought her baby without any ear protection. And he said, one of the wives just left. There's an empty seat 3 seats over for me. So I go and I sit 3 seats down and ride that wave until the 10th inning through the rain delay.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, this is amazing. I'm sitting directly behind John Cusack.
Yeah.
And Eddie Vedder is directly in front of him. And I thought, I'm going to do the coolest Facebook Live ever. I'm going to do a broadcast of the Cubs winning the World Series with all these cool people in it. And my Facebook Live starts to count down. 3, 2, 1, you're live. And I feel somebody leaning on me, and I turn around. It's Bill Murray.
Really?
He's drunk and crying.
Yeah.
Wendy's pulling up the video right now.
You can
it's
look
1 minute and 15 seconds in when you get
the seats.
And I'm looking at Bill Murray. We're one out away from winning the World Series.
Yeah.
And there's so many things I wanted to say to Bill Murray. I just wanted to go, I love you.
Yeah, right.
I love you.
Yeah.
But all I could say was, Bill, hold on. They almost got this. Hold on. I get the last out. Boom! And I turn around, Bill! And it's 5 minutes of me high-fiving Bill and him crying.
Yeah.
And, I didn't see this before.
And my phone is exploding with text messages from friends saying, get off my TV, you loser! The image of Bill Murray and I is everywhere.
Yeah.
And I'm wearing a Mariners hat.
Oh, no.
I'm that guy. But everyone is wondering, like, how'd you end up at the game with Bill Murray? And I said, I didn't. He showed up right as they won. And the video ends up being Bill and Eddie Vedder and Chris Chelios, Bonnie Hunt, Cubs ownership.
The Chicago contingent right
Billy
there.
Corgan. Yeah. They're all swarming around me. And these aren't my seats. They're not my seats. And I'm filming everybody. And a half hour goes by. My buddy from Cleveland texts me and goes, dude, sorry I didn't say goodbye, man. That game sucked. I couldn't believe it, man. I just was so close, man. I just was pissed. I had to leave. And I said, dude, I didn't even know you left. Bill Murray showed up.
Right, you
missed it. Bill Murray hung out for like a half hour. And he writes me back and says, screw Bill Murray. You know, it's who says screw Bill
so
Murray?
So a moment that was already as surrealistic as a moment could be, the Cubs winning the World Series, became even crazier with the addition of those guys being around you.
Yeah, I mean, it is the coolest fit. She's
You're
watching
like
it.
Mr.
Right?
Chicago, man. I swear to God.
She's watching the video. You got to just share it on whatever pages you
got. Yeah, we'll put Bill F. and Wendy Snyder.
Because it's insane. It is, I mean, I'm a foot in front of Bill Murray.
Looks like less than that.
And yeah, I mean, we're just, well, he's standing, he's leaning on me when the video starts. So when I turn around, his face is right there.
Did you see what he did after the game?
He
got into the Cubs locker room, and he stole a Fox. You know, they've got the microphone with the Fox logo on it.
Yeah.
He stole it from a legitimate sports guy, and he went around the Cubs locker room doing interviews as though he was a member of Fox
Sports.
And he
was better than maybe the other interviews would have done.
He did a great job.
I love it, and it's not my birthright, but I've always had a soft spot for the Cubs. I've always had a soft spot for any underdog.
Yeah.
And
well, they're the
nothing.
Ultimate underdog.
They're the ultimate underdog, and when I was doing interviews in Cleveland that day, everyone was asking, well, who do you want to win? And I was like, whoever.
Right, does want.
And the truth was, if Cleveland won, it would be great for Cleveland. But
sure.
You cannot argue
the
Cubs. You can't argue that. That was, I remember the first time I stood on stage in St. Louis, I had a Mark Grace jersey.
Yeah.
And people started booing
me.
And I had no idea there was a rivalry.
Yeah.
And then my show goes from comedy to spoken word because I have to explain to people, wait a minute, why are you mad at the Cubs? Who have the Cubs ever heard?
Right.
And they're like, oh, they suck. And I was like, that's why you need to root for them, because they suck. Why are you? Their colors are red, white, and blue. How much more obvious does it need to be? That's an American team. You have to root for that team. So, it was magic. So the comedy show this weekend, I have a couple comedians who are big Cubs fans. The whole show in Palatine is going to be...
Are they Chicago guys or guys from elsewhere?
Local guys.
Guys. Can you name names?
Well, there's one or two I really want to get in there, and I don't want to say who they are.
All right, that's fine.
But it's going to be a comedy show for Cubs fans, by Cubs fans. And we're doing it again in this rock club in Dirty Nellies. And I'm a big sports nut. I book all my shows around the country.
Yeah.
Around baseball games, football games, and concerts.
Oh, that's great.
If it's a National League city, I won't perform there unless it's the week that the Cubs are there.
Yeah.
If it's an American League city, it's got to be when the Mariners are there.
What a nice life to be able to plan around your fandom.
Yeah, that is
And
nice.
The only downside is I'm not famous.
So there's always a downside.
Because I focused on having fun.
Right.
But it's weird because as a comedian, I hang out with other comedians, and there's some who I really admire, and I'm cool around those guys. I'm cool around musicians because a lot of musicians come out to comedy shows. I'm cool around actors that I work with on TV shows.
Mm-hmm.
There's something about athletes that, especially football for me, because I get so emotionally invested that I lose my cool. And, you know, I mean, you know, I think I told you the story about my quarterback that nobody cares about, Matt Hasselbeck, that I met him. Did I tell you that?
I don't
You didn't
recall.
Tell us, no.
I met Matt Hasselbeck, who was the quarterback for my team. He was the guy who turned my team around. And I saw him at an event, and I freaked out, and I just, I couldn't control, Matt! And then and I go, hey, man, who get? And he goes, he turned around, looks at me, and he goes, hey. He goes, what's up? And I go, what's up? My voice got that high. And then I realized, oh, my God, I have a camera phone. Matt, real quick, come on, we just take it real quick.
Yeah.
And we take the picture, and I'm squeezing him.
Why not?
You didn't want to let him go.
And he's a foot taller than me, yeah. So I'm squeezing him and looking up going, he takes the picture and goes, all right, I'll see you later. And he walks away. And I'm standing in this hallway watching him walk away going, Matt, there's something about meeting somebody who you really admire where you want to stretch out a moment that is clearly over. Like, I said, can I get a picture? He said, fine. He's taking the picture. Now he wants to get on with his life. But I want more out of this.
Sure,
so
of course.
As he's walking away, I went, Matt! And when he turned around, I put my hand out and I was like, come on.
One more.
Just shake. Because I just thought, if we shake hands, then we'll start talking.
Yeah. Right? You become best friends.
If we start talking, maybe you'll teach me how to throw a spiral. I don't know. I wasn't thinking, but I know that shaking hands is the beginning of
step
a
friendship.
You're
that's
so
step
cute.
That's step one.
You're like a 10-year-old boy.
And Matt Hasselbeck reluctantly turns around and goes, all right, what's up? And he starts walking towards me, and I was like, oh, my God, here we go. Here we go. And these are the only words that came out of my mouth. I went, you make me so happy. And he goes, what? And I go,
oh, no.
Thank you. And I walked away.
Wow.
That was it. And I spent 10 years on sports stations all over the world analyzing why that was the only thing that came out of my mouth was you make me so happy. Mm-hmm. But I talked about it every week, market by market, sports stations, about how I lost my cool with Matt Hasselbeck. 4 years ago, I'm broadcasting from the Super Bowl Media Center in New Orleans.
Yeah.
When Matt Hasselbeck starts walking through the Super Bowl Media Center and I go, oh my God, Matt.
Yeah.
Didn't want to bother you at all. Just want to say hello. I'm a big fan. And I go
you didn't say I'm the guy who you make happy.
No.
You didn't throw that
I just said, I don't want to bother you. I just want to shake your hand and say hello. And he goes, Craig Gass. And
he remembered.
Shut the hell up. He goes, you're the guy with the story, right?
Right.
Hold on a second. Brett, come here. Brett, come here. No, come here. I look over. Brett Favre starts walking towards me in slow motion, and Matt Hasselbeck goes, Brett, this is Craig Gass. This is one of the funniest comedians on the planet. And Brett Favre walks up and goes, what's up, dude?
Uh-huh.
I love stand-up comedy. And I went, I do too! And I started crying. I started crying to Brett Favre and Matt Hasselbeck. At one point, Matt Hasselbeck goes, this guy does great impressions. He works on Family Guy. He does, well, here, Craig, do some impressions for Brett. And every impression I did was of somebody crying.
Oh,
every impression was like, I want to... Can I get a picture? Okay, Jason, here. I take the picture. The next day, I wake up in my hotel room in New Orleans.
Yeah.
Log onto my Twitter. Matt Hasselbeck is following me on Twitter. And I was freaking out. I call my friend. I go, Jason, get in here. Look at this. And he's looking at my computer going, what? What am I looking at? Twitter. So what? Matt Hasselbeck. Is Matt Hasselbeck following me? I go, Matt Hasselbeck's following me on Twitter. And he goes, you should tweet him. And I was like, oh.
Yeah.
I should. No, I'll post the picture. I'll post the picture. He'll love the picture. And that's where this whole story just
that's fantastic.
Takes a huge dump because I saw the picture, and you can see it. It's on my Facebook page.
Yeah.
It's in my profile pictures. Go to facebook.com/ILoveGass with two S's and go to my profile pictures, and you'll see Brett Favre smiling. Matt Hasselbeck. Smiling.
Yeah.
Me in the middle.
Crying. Sure.
And I made the mistake of writing a caption while I was in an emotional state looking at the picture.
Yeah.
And the caption I wrote was, I'm sorry. Okay? I'm sorry. But when one of your heroes introduces you to Brett Favre with the words, "This is one of the funniest comedians on the planet," you know what time it is. Hashtag, it's boner time. And within an hour, literally within 1 hour, Matt Hasselbeck unfollowed me. I was like,
dude.
You went too far.
I went too far. And it's, far. You know, it's dreams really do come true. I've seen it.
Yeah.
And they crash and burn.
You can't mess them up.
Oh.
So, but yeah, as a huge sports fan, that's Saturday night is it's not just a sports themed show. It's a Cubs themed show. And
good.
I'm inviting a bunch of guys from the front office for the Cubs to come out for that late show there. And yeah, that club, Dirty Nellie's, is like a perfect venue to do stand-up.
It's one of the first places I ever worked when I did stand-up.
Really?
A thousand years ago. But I think they've moved locations. They're still in Palatine. I think they moved across the street or down the street. But yeah, it was always a fun place to work.
They would do a regular show there? A regular comedy show?
No, they would do like every once in a while they do a special comedy night.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who were the guys that were starting out with you out here in Chicago when you started out?
It might not be names that you're familiar with.
Okay.
You know, most of them either stayed in Chicago or went on, but I don't know if you were in another city then, they're probably names that you wouldn't recognize.
Okay. I'm always interested in, I mean, I love, as a stand-up comedian, just sharing stories about my favorite thing about being able to do stand-up comedy is the countless hours of conversations I've had analyzing stand-up.
Sure.
You know, and I actually just heard one of my favorite bombing stories ever. There's a club we all used to work at in New York when I first got to New York in 1998, and Dane Cook had a story about bombing at this club that he said it was a Tuesday night. I think he said it was 1 o'clock in the morning. He gets on stage. There's six people in the audience.
Yeah.
One of the six people has all their groceries on the table.
Oh, jeez.
Because when you walk by, they go, "Hey, come on in, comedy show." He's like, "I got my groceries." "Oh, it's okay. I'll carry the groceries. Come on. I'll help you." So this guy, you know, the doorman helps him carry his groceries in. So this guy's sitting at the table with all his groceries stacked on top of his table. And Dane is bombing. Nobody's laughing. They're all kind of hammered. They're not really reacting to him. And one of the six people gets up, stumbles to the bathroom, closes the door, and starts violently vomiting in the bathroom. Oh. It's disruptive to the other five people, and they just hear awful noises. There's a long pause, and then toilet flushes. Guy comes back out. He's walking back over to his seat, and Dane Cook is standing on stage. He goes, "You okay, buddy? You all right? You feeling okay? Are you?" And the audience member, the drunk guy, goes, "Oh, no, I had some bad comedy." And I was like, "Oh!" Everybody's high-fiving each other. The guy with the groceries is like, "Ah!" He's throwing his groceries up in the air. The audience owns him.
That's terrible. There's a documentary on Netflix right now with all your favorite comedians of the past years telling their worst stories about shows they did where they just didn't do well.
Really?
Chris Rock and Seinfeld and everybody. You got to see it.
What's it called?
The name is escaping me. I saw it about 3 weeks ago, but it's on Netflix right now. Go through documentaries. It's all right there.
One of my favorites is Patton Oswalt has a story about when he was starting out. He was at an open mic in Virginia, or maybe he was headlining, but someone in the audience, it's not going well. It's quiet. He's going through his set, and then apparently somebody stood up in the middle of the audience and said, "I'm sorry," and the whole crowd looks over, and he goes, "You seem like a nice man. I don't think comedy is for you."
Oh, no.
And he starts giving a speech.
Oh, no.
And Patton just stares at him and lets him continue, and he goes, "You seem like a good person. I just... We haven't laughed, and we're going to go."
Yeah. What, he's speaking for the whole room?
He's giving a monologue. And Patton's just, I love stories like that.
They're hard to hear, though, you know?
They hurt.
They do.
It's awful.
Craig Gass.
What a terrible ramp-up to say. By the way, go to Palatine's.
And laugh like
Yeah, go to Palatine. Go to Dirty Nellie's Palatine and go see Craig Gass and give him a speech in the middle of the show.
No, don't do that. Dirty Nellie's, D-U-R-T-Y, and then Nellie's, N-E-L-L-I-E-S, DirtyNellies.com. You're there. Two shows on Saturday. The 7 o'clock is all ages, for reals?
Yeah, 7 o'clock is, I recommend 18 and over, But it's Dirty Nellies with a U because I think the owner didn't finish high school. He doesn't know how to spell. I don't know what happened. But Dirty Nellies with a U. And
he's a terrible Scrabble player.
He is.
Trust me, Craig. You clean up at Scrabble.
And it's I would recommend 18 and over for that early show.
That's the 7 o'clock and then 9:30, 21 and over.
Yeah, but it's going to be a Cubs-themed comedy show.
Should be good.
And Craig, check them out on Facebook and watch that video. We'll post the video up on our Facebook page, too.
The video is insane. It is that a lot of people saw the shot of Bill Murray and that there's a guy in front of him with his camera on. And that was me. I'm the guy who was talking
in the
to
Marlins
him
hat.
I was in the Mariners hat.
Sorry.
In the Mariners hat. Yeah.
Thank you, Craig.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Have a good time.
Thank you.
We'll take a quick break. Judy's got the news and then a lot more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.